Today is Sunday, March 26th, 2017, and this...
It's morning at the MGM Grand, one of the city's most opulent buildings.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 593.
Listen.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back behind the microphone to talk about Las Vegas.
You're ready to rock the mic.
Ready. I'm ready. We've got a lot to talk about this week.
We
just returned from a trip to Las Vegas.
We did. It was fun.
Yes, it was a very fun, very different trip. We're going to discuss it over the next several shows.
We're going to milk that shit.
We are. Yeah, lots of things to review. So, we had some good experiences.
Yes,
we did.
Excited
to talk about them. So before we do that, we're going to get into some news. We got some phone calls. We got some other stuff. But I do want to mention that this podcast is supported by the more than 145 listener patrons. I love our listeners. They're so awesome.
That's so cool.
They include Robin Williams, Stephen Brown, Gina Palmacci, Anna, George Trace Webster III, and I'm going to guess his wife Catherine can be included in that.
Mm-hmm.
JP from Boston, Monica Schill, David Schneider, David Smith, and Marcy Walcott. Thank you to all of those folks, as well as all of the other patrons who we are mentioning each week on this show. If you're interested in supporting the podcast and getting some bonus content as part of that, you can visit patreon.com/500 for details. I filmed something in Las Vegas that I'm looking very forward to sharing with some of our patrons. I can't remember. I have to revisit the levels and see what I promised to different levels so I can figure out what I post to who and all that stuff.
Okay.
But so yeah, that's going to be a fun video that's coming up from when we were in Las Vegas. And then I've got some other stuff that I've been thinking about, and I posted something a couple things right before our trip. So it's starting to roll.
Good.
And yeah, people seem to dig it too. There's some good conversation going on there too, which makes me happy.
After you like conversation.
I posted my first column, which I'm going to do every month, and some good follow-up thoughts on that, which I like. I like getting other people's feedback on where they stand on the things that I discuss. So yeah, good stuff going on over there. All right. So thank you to all of our patrons. Some news. It's been a weird couple days in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it has.
I'm sure if anybody has been outside of, if anybody's turned on the TV or been on the internet at all, they've seen some of the activities happening, some of the unsavory activities happening at and near Bellagio in the last few days. So Friday night, there were three guys in animal masks that decided to rip off a jewelry store inside of Bellagio. At first, there were reports that there were shots fired, but that, I guess, was not the case.
Oh.
It was the sounds of them breaking through the windows.
Okay.
And
still
I guess,
alarming.
Hmm?
Still alarming. You hear
totally.
Some loud
yeah,
popping
people were,
sounds. You're
yeah,
like,
people were
what?
Scattering. And yeah, all kinds of weirdness. I'm not sure how much they got away with. They did get some stuff. And I believe there have been some people who have been... I don't know if they've formally been arrested. There have been some people who the police have spoken to. They've been kind of weird with their wording on exactly what's going on with this. So I'm not sure if the people who did this have actually been caught. It sounds like they have, but I don't know that they've been charged yet. So we'll see. I'm sure there'll be more developments. Then the weird thing, so I probably, if that had just happened, I don't know if I would have even talked about it on the show, but the fact that it was coupled up with this other unrelated incident in the same area, I thought, because there's crime all the time, you know, and it's just like any other major city. So I don't necessarily always want to talk about it on the show. But in addition to that, the next morning, just outside of Bellagio at the bus stop between Bellagio and Cosmopolitan, there was this whole weird multi-hour incident, standoff, police standoff with some dude who was apparently, the story is that he was riding on the top level of a double-decker bus and just opened fire on the bus. And he killed one person and another person was injured. Don't know what their status is. And then he was alone on the bus for several hours while the SWAT team moved in, and it was all kinds of craziness.
And then they locked down the hotels.
They had to, they had to keep people off the strip in that area. So they,
and they closed the strip completely
for, well, I don't know what stretch of the strip, I think it was from Flamingo to something beyond Harmon. I'm not sure. Tropicana maybe, but, yeah, it was wild to watch that online. Rich Tessier, who's a Minnesota guy, I believe he's a podcast listener, was periscoping. He was in town for the KFAN Power Trip morning show trip that they did, and was staying at Planet Hollywood, and he was on the 38th floor and stayed well beyond his checkout time in order to periscope this, and it was fascinating to watch. And he had a really good view of the bus and the SWAT team moving in, and
he just did a really good job with the commentary.
He did a better job with the commentary than I think a lot of similar incidents that happen that have live television coverage.
Absolutely.
It was really impressive.
Yeah.
So, Rich, nice job with that. And I guess we got to name I watched for like, I don't know, 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, shit, I got to take the dog for a walk. And while I was gone, I guess there was a shout out to 500 on there. So
that
was very
that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did such a good job because he kept repeating what he knew and what he didn't know. He wouldn't speculate on stuff.
No, anything.
Yeah.
He was very careful with saying, as far as we know, and from what we've heard from some of the TV coverage we've been watching, very, very
professional.
Professional and precise in his words as far as like what's going on. I flipped over. There was another person periscoping, and he was at Cosmo and had a view, really cool view, straight down on the bus. And I watched that for a few minutes, but it was nice to see that, but I turned the audio off and was listening to Rich's audio. Like, I was going back and forth between, but I just had Rich's audio on because it was just a different type
different
of coverage, and it was much more speculative, and there was stuff that he was saying that already the news had cleared up. Like, he was saying that there were hostages, and that was not the case. But anyway, Rich did a great job.
And there were people on the other feed saying, what are those propane tanks doing there? It was the covers.
Oh, that was on
the
both the
stops.
Oh my god, the commenters. That's the one thing out of this. So Rich is doing a fantastic job, and I'm watching the comments go by. And if you think like the comments on YouTube are bad or any, oh my god, a live periscope of that nature, you get such fucking nut jobs and people who a lot of failed efforts at humor. That part was horrible, but it was. Man, talk about how things have changed as far as how you get your news coverage.
Right.
Because he was on it immediately, and then the news stations are picking up. The other thing that was fascinating to watch is how all these TV news stations in Vegas were on his Periscope saying, hey, can we use this or can we talk to you? And he said he didn't really want to be interviewed. Although this morning I did see he tweeted out that I think he was interviewed by one of the channels. I don't know. It was interesting.
Yeah, the whole thing was fascinating.
I expect that there will be a certain amount of, and I've already seen a little bit of it, but the, oh my God, Vegas isn't safe anymore stuff. It's like, yeah, you know what? It is. It's the same as any other city. It's fine. This
weird
shit's going to happen.
Weird stuff's going to
happen. This is not any sort of terrorist planned attack like we had in London or anything like that, although that could certainly happen as well. But, you know,
was the London thing one guy too? Just,
I don't know.
Off on his own? I mean,
yeah, so yeah, it's a major city. When you're traveling to a major city, there's going to be a certain amount of risk, but
the
you can't let it.
The more people you have, the more risk you have of running into a wacko.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you want a vacation where you're free of anybody who's nutty, that's completely impossible, but you know, go to some little shit town in the middle of nowhere that has nothing to do and you'll probably find it. It's just part of the deal. So there's nothing about these incidents that changes anything about the way that I experience Vegas.
Yep.
That's my point, I guess. But like I said, it was really the manner in which we get information is, and it's nothing new. Obviously, Twitter and social media stuff has changed that, but it's...
Yeah, I'll go to Twitter for news now before I'll go to major...
And you know, and it's mixed, there's a mixed bag because you do get... It's easy to get a certain amount of misinformation because there is so much speculation.
Right.
People like to... They want to know everything right now, which I understand. We were on there trying to find out what was going on. But then if you don't have that information right now, there's a tendency by some people to fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. And
but the news has a tendency to do that too, which is not good.
No. No. Anyway, it was great. As, once again, props to Rich for that. It was fantastic. And hopefully we won't have any more huge...
The coverage was fantastic. The fact that a person died, that is That's not great.
The other reason that I quit watching, in addition to having to take Max for a walk, was after like 3 hours or so, I came to the realization that like no matter how this ends, short of the bus blowing up, which nobody wanted to see, it's going to be completely anticlimactic. As it was, the guy just gave himself up and they escorted him away. And that was it. But... So that was kind of like, not that I wanted to see anything crazy, right. But that the realization that, man, I've got a lot of time invested in this and it's nothing's going to happen that noteworthy. So after a while I bailed. That was the deal. All right, let's get in some other news that, is probably a little bit more, not interesting necessarily, but that matters longer term, I guess, than an incident that happens and then is done. So it's been 5 years since the Mob Museum opened downtown.
Wow.
And I remember, man, when that was being discussed before it was official and then when it first opened, I know that we talked a lot about, is there going to be enough interest in this to keep it open? And that was a concern with even opening it in the first place. Apparently, it's doing quite well. An article I read this week said they are up to about 350,000 people a year. Compared to 2012, when they first opened, they were at about 200,000. So it's continuing to grow.
That's good.
And they've decided to not really expand the building so much, but they're going to do some renovations and continue to improve that experience for people who are visitors, which I think is a really good idea because something like this, you kind of need to continually reinvent it in order to bring people back. Mm-hmm. Not only tourists like us, but also a lot of their traffic comes from locals, it comes from schools and tour groups and things like that. So to get that repeat business, it makes sense to continue adding new things. They're going to spend $6.5 million in the next year in 3 new exhibits and some other changes. They're going to add an Organized Crime Today exhibit, a crime lab exhibit, and some sort of firearms training simulator.
Ooh.
They're it sounds like they're focusing on having some more interactive stuff, which I think is a good idea because there's a lot of reading when you go to the Mob Museum.
Yeah, you need to break it up and have people involved a little more.
Yeah, they do have some of that. There's some stuff where they have some different touchscreen things, but I think the more of that they can add, the better.
I agree.
So focusing on interactivity, and then they're also the gift shop must be doing well because they're going to expand the retail space by like 3,500 square feet, and they're also incorporating some sort of food and beverage section into that as well. So I'm glad to hear that the Mob Museum is doing well. It's a really good fit for Las Vegas. It's a really well done museum, and I'm happy that our initial concerns that it might not draw the attention that it would need to stay open seem to be a non-factor. So that's great. I could see myself going back there eventually.
Yep. It would be after all of the
It feels like it's a once a decade thing.
Yeah. I would want to wait until they have all these renovations complete.
Yeah. Which they're looking at starting them fairly soon and completing them in early 2018. There will not be a shutdown of the museum while they're working on them. So if you're planning on going, you don't need to change your plans because they're going to be doing work. And I would recommend it. It's a good, if you haven't been to the Mob Museum and you have any interest, not only in Las Vegas organized crime history, but the history of organized crime in the United States in general, it's a really, really interesting few hours.
Will there be a new section on the Las Vegas Internet Mafia?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Is that still a thing? I guess it is. Yeah, no, I don't think that really qualifies for as an official...
We're not really organized crime.
We're barely organized and definitely not criminals. Well, mostly not criminals. All right. Some restaurant and bar news. There is a bar that's been around. This is another one of those things, like, I would have guessed maybe that this would have been a... novelty that would have worked either in one location or just for a little while, but it continues to grow.
This surprises me as well.
Yeah, Minus 5 Ice Bar, which has had a location for a long, long time at Monte Carlo, and then a couple years ago added another one at Mandalay Bay. They're adding a third Las Vegas location at Grand Canal Shops at Venetian. I don't have an opening date on this, but we've never done this.
No.
And partly because it's not that novel to us.
Because we have winter.
Because... although this winter we didn't really have much of a winter, but
let's talk more about weather.
Going and spending an hour in a room that's carved out of ice doesn't really seem
that doesn't appeal to me.
It's not novel to me.
I'm like, yeah.
So,
and I think I say that every time we talk about this.
Yeah, it doesn't come up all that often though. But yeah, so third location, so good for them. The person who runs it said, I don't know if he has a connection to the Twin Cities. I'm assuming so because he also said he is looking for a Las Vegas location. Don't know if it'll be a touristy location or not. For the Twin Cities chain, New Bohemia.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like sausage and beer. There are, I guess, like 6 or 7 of those in the Twin Cities now, and they have a food truck. He wants to open one in Las Vegas, too. So we have one near us. We have not even been to it yet.
No, we haven't.
But it's on the list of things in the area if we ever leave the house.
Don't they have seating that's...
like social seating?
Yeah.
I think so. We need to go when there's nobody there.
Exactly.
That's the key to surviving social seating at restaurants. Where did we go? There was somewhere in Las Vegas we went this trip. And we were seated at a long table. I'm like, oh, if some motherfucker sits down next to me. But they cleared out the other... I can't remember where
was it.
Was
it Tina Poblano?
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've got a bunch of that too. But we went at a time when they were busy, so it didn't matter. Okay, anyway, moving along.
And it was delicious.
It was. There is a Japanese restaurant that's been open at Mirage for quite a while. I know that I'm probably butchering the name. Is it Japanese?
I think so.
No, it's not just mayonnaise. It's Japanese. That'd be like mayonnaise mixed with wasabi.
Yeah.
And ginger. Like this weird. Yeah. Anyway, it's been there for 10 years or so, and it is closing. And, well, I don't know if it's actually closing, but they're changing the name and somewhat the concept, although it's still the same type of restaurant. Review Journal reports that as of May 1st, it's going to be Otato Robata Grill and Sushi. I don't know why they're making the change, if it's an ownership thing or what, but a similar type of restaurant, same space, different name, probably a different menu coming soon.
Is it Otato or Ototo?
I don't know. It's named after like the fattest part of the something. I don't know. I read this description, I'm like, meh.
The fattest part of the what?
I don't know. Something that they serve.
Okay.
Pork belly, maybe? I have no idea. Domo arigato, Otato Robata. All right. And finally, you're a fan of fried chicken.
Oh, God, yes.
As am I. But we've discussed a bunch of times that Blue Ribbon, which is for a long time at Cosmopolitan, it has been a combination sushi fried chicken concept, which is a little bit weird. They recently shut down. They're transitioning to more of a fried chicken American kind of cuisine thing called Blue Ribbon Brasserie. And in the meantime, well, I don't know if it'll be open before or not, but the same people are opening a strictly fried chicken restaurant at the Grand Bazaar Shops at Bally's of all places, which is interesting. And it's just going to be called Blue Ribbon Fried Chicken. No official opening date yet. This news comes from Eater. I'm interested to see that one of the this is probably a good trend for the Grand Bazaar shops, even though they're still completely shitty. Not completely shitty, but mostly shitty. They are focusing a lot more now on food and beverage, which I think is a good move. Instead of, well, and they still do have, you know, the hodgepodge of weird, like, kiosk-y type storefronts. But they've been opening, they opened Redneck Riviera, which is a country bar. They opened Giordano's, which is deep dish pizza. They're putting this place in. They've got Wahlburgers. They seem to finally have a little bit of momentum by focusing on the food and beverage. And I think that's a good idea if they want it to have any sort of draw at all.
Yeah.
Maybe making, it's like a low rent link in a way. It still feels kind of shitty walking through there. Like it doesn't feel like a great experience. But at least if they have some delicious food or a fun bar experience, they'll get people to hang out. So
would they get you to hang out?
I'd go to Blue Ribbon.
Yeah,
I'd go try their fried chicken. Certainly. I don't know that I'm going to spend a day at Grand Bazaar Shops, but I don't know that that's what anyone would do.
Would you rather go there, or would you rather go to the one in Cosmo and also get identity points?
You know what? What I'm curious to see, most likely Cosmo, because I just like hanging out there. But I'm curious now, once these places are both open, what the... I suspect the Grand Bazaar Shops location will be much more of a fast foodie, fast casual kind of grab and go thing.
Right.
Whereas, obviously, the one at Cosmo is going to be a little bit more upscale, and there's going to be a price difference there. So if you're getting the same quality chicken at both, I might be compelled to go to Grand Bazaar.
Really?
Yeah. Depending on, you know, if I just want a quick lunch but want something super delicious, why not?
Oh, here's a weird tangent.
Yes?
So when we were talking about the situation outside Cosmo and Bellagio.
Yes.
If there was a casino where I had to be holed up for a while, it would be Cosmo.
And we will discuss that more in the coming weeks as part of our trip. We spent quite a bit of time there.
Yes. Yes, we did.
All right. So that's about it for news. Not a lot of news the last couple of weeks that I felt like talking about. I'm sure maybe we'll get caught up on some other stuff that I may have missed next week, but we'll see. We have a Facebook group post of the week this week. In fact, there's a late entry as well in addition to this one. So it's kind of a tie. Richard posted a picture on March 23rd of a guy playing poker wearing a purple cape and crown.
Nice.
No explanation why he's doing that, that's the fun of the picture. It's just fucking Vegas. Like, you see stupid shit like that all the time, and you're just like, yep. Yep.
Oh, Vegas.
Yep. And it wasn't like a cheap, like, this crown was a...
It wasn't like a Burger King crown.
No, this was like a fucking King's crown. It was ridiculous. And the comments on that were fun too. So, but then this morning there was a post from Amy, who had a picture of two of the mobile billboards on the strip next to each other. Coincidentally, one of them was for a Jesus Saves and one of them was for Girls Direct Your Room.
Nice.
So that was pretty entertaining as well. So we're going to give that one an honorary mention this week as well. Thank you to everybody for their contributions to good discussions on the Facebook group. You can find that on Facebook by searching for 500. All right. We've got some phone calls that we're going to do a couple reviews from our trip, if that's okay. Or would you rather do the reviews first?
Let's do the phone calls really quick.
Okay, we'll get caught up on phone calls over the next couple weeks, too. So if you don't hear yours and you called in the last couple weeks, we'll probably get to it next week. But
okay.
All right, here we go.
Hey, 500. So I'm listening to one of your podcasts that I downloaded subsequent to my recent trip to Vegas and was completely mortified to find that there was a seriously drunken message left by some fool that forensics tells me was me. Anyway, so I had a call back when I was sober and comment that downtown was an absolute blast that night, and Eric, the bearded bartender at Golden Gate, was astounding. Even in my drunken state, I was amazed to see him throw behind his back a bottle of Crown, not around his back to catch it again, but up to a shelf behind him that was probably 8 feet high, and it just stuck the landing of this probably two-thirds full bottle of Crown. So quite impressive. But anyway, thanks for your tolerance, and hopefully this message will come through a little stronger, louder, and clearer. And yes, dogs rock. You guys rock. Have a good day. See ya.
All right, thanks for the call. I love drunken regret calls. Again, a week or two later. His was the drunk dial where he didn't mention his name, but on the call, I was kind of mocking him because it was like, this is one of those. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Probably best that he didn't say his name. You never know. All right. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And thank you for sharing your drunkenness with us.
Mm-hmm.
We were entertained and amused.
Yes.
Okay. Next up.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. This is Rob, Sky on the Rocks. Just wanted to call and give you a little bit of a report on a recent trip I had a couple of weeks back, specifically about where I stayed. So the first couple of days was solo. Wanted to stay off this trip, so I went down to the Silverton, spent a couple of nights there, loved the casino there, and also spent some time at the M Resort while I was down in that area. But I wanted to really talk about the Vdara, because that's where I met up with a friend of mine. And we wanted to stay in the same room, but we didn't want to stay in the same room. So I was able to secure what I thought was a pretty good rate for the executive corner suite, which if you, you know, get the couch to turn into the bed, then, you know, you have two separate sleeping quarters. It was a great room, really economical use of space. Two bathrooms, of course, the master bathroom in the main bedroom, and then a powder room. A lot of great views. I posted a few of them on the Facebook page. And just a lot of windows. So a lot of touch button, a shade and blackout options. The kitchen area was really nice. The big feature was the refrigerator. You know, not only if you want to bring, you know, some leftovers back, but there's a drink option there for ice cold filtered water. It's not one of those outer door filtered water things. It's one of those that are inside the refrigerator. And you did get some free water, so you're able to kind of refill the bottle when you were done with it. And it was really handy and convenient, and just great to have that. The property is really tight. There's a lot of room, but it doesn't feel like a lot of room. And what I really liked about it is there's no mass of humanity around the elevators. You know how you're staying at a property and you go into the bank of elevators when you figure out, you know, where your room is, and then you're waiting for the elevator, and by the time the elevator shows up, there's like 15 people that have now joined you in your wait. That never happened to me at Vdara. And I know the place was pretty well booked. And you're just steps away from being outside. So when you get off the elevator, there's no long winding road or any kind of hallways that you got to walk. You're really just steps from being outside. There's great seating options when you get off the elevator, you know, if you're waiting for somebody. So it's not like there's, again, it's not like there's no room, but there's just not a lot of room. And I'm saying that in a good way. There's a bar there. It used to be called Bar Vdara, as you know. Now it's called Vice Versa. It's got an outdoor option. Really relaxing place if you want to start your evening out with a drink. They also have drink specials, including a $28 all-you-can-drink Bloody Mary special Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think it's for 3 hours, and that could change. So, you know, I don't want to say that's going to be there all the time, but they also have daily drink specials. There's a Starbucks down there for those people who need their Starbucks. And then there's a snack area, like a little snack cafe, which I wouldn't waste your time at. I tried it once the day I was leaving, and I did not have a good experience. The service was really bad, and the food was really nondescript. So that brings us to the, you know, no casino in the property. I had heard that it was really close to different properties. And, you know, I saw the YouTube videos. And I have to tell you, I was really, really surprised with how close it is, not only to the Aria, which, as you know, is just kind of right across the little court there. And it's also attached by a walkway to the Bellagio. Now, when you take that walkway, you're getting to the Bellagio rather quickly, but you're getting into the area of the Bellagio where you're staying in the spa tower, even furthest point of that tower where the convention center is. So even though you'll get to the Bellagio rather quickly, you're walking through the entire property to get to the casino. But what I was really surprised at is how close it was to Cosmo. You go out the doors of Vdara, you hang a left, and there's a pedestrian set of stairs that you would use, and then you are steps away from the area, the valet area of the Cosmopolitan. Now, even though there's a walkway in that area, it is a little bit dangerous, you know, because it's kind of like a garage, similar to the way the Planet Hollywood is set up. But it's a legitimate walkway, and you are closer to the Cosmo Casino than you are to the Bellagio Casino. And I will tell you, I never, ever felt like I was out of reach for any kind of casino opportunity. And I really had a good experience there. So I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's just a great place. But you're right there. So anyway, I had some great luck and I really enjoy the podcast, of course. And I love Las Vegas. It's such a cool place. Thanks a lot for the show. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the great review. Vidara is, little bit of a, it's not, I don't know if I'd say hidden gem, but maybe a lesser discussed or lesser known gem. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it's kind of a hidden gem for those very reasons. We enjoyed our stay there.
Yeah.
And
I'd go back.
Great value, mm-hmm. you know, which I always like to make a point. Sometimes people think value means cheapest, not the cheapest, but you get a lot for your money there.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a pretty big room for what you pay.
And he raised a good point about traveling with someone where you want. A question that comes up a lot in the Facebook group is, which hotels can I get
an adjoining room?
Yeah. Well, not even that. People usually are looking for a 2-bedroom suite, which usually the better thing to do is to get adjoining rooms. Mm-hmm. But this is a viable option for that too. I don't know how comfortable the pullout is.
What?
How comfortable the converted sofa is.
Okay.
But, you know, that's always my concern with those things. Would be comfort if you're staying on a hide-a-bed, essentially. But, yeah, might be a worthwhile option. I would probably just, I don't know. If I'm staying in a hotel, I don't know if I'd want to. I was going to say, I'd probably just sleep on the couch. But
depending on the comfort of the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm staying in a hotel, I want a full-on bed, I suppose.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so great option, great location.
He mentioned the nice powder review. Room. I'm waiting for hotels to market everything and brand everything. So at some point,
the hotel did that.
Well, yeah, at some point, rooms with multiple bathrooms are going to have a Gold Bond powder room.
Oh, he wants sponsorships for the different rooms of the. Oh, okay. We're not going to get into that. Oh, no, never mind. I'm not even going to. You're not going to draw me into a discussion about powdering my balls again. All right. nice try, lady. Next up.
Hi, Andy. Henry Michelle. My name is Michael. I'm in Las Vegas. Assuming my liver holds out, I'll be here a week. I got here Monday because my wife said show up early because my buddy was supposed to come and he ended up bailing, but she said go and play poker. A couple things I've noticed. So I used all my Vegas points and I stayed at the Mirage. Very nice. More importantly, I checked off a bucket list, which is go to Golden Steer, which was a good state. I noticed, for once, all the escalators worked on the Strip, which was very impressive. I've been coming 20 years and never seen that. I have also noticed that, God, I hate when people walk 5 wide. Just want to smack them. And for all the street performers that are trying to be Harley Quinn or Superman, at least have a stomach smaller than mine. Ugh, painful to watch. So I just moved downtown. Whoever recommended Anger Brewery, good choice. I'm at the D now. I've been drinking all day at the Anger Brewery, and I appreciate that. Pizza Rock, I just ate there, which was outstanding. I still hate all the street performers here, too. They annoy me. But at least I don't have to walk into them, unlike the Strip. So I appreciate your show. I really hope my liver makes it all until Monday. Otherwise, it'll be an interesting March Madness, and I'm going to try a couple of things I've always wanted to do, which is the Cal and the Frankie's Tiki Lounge, because I've never been there, and I've always wanted to try it. Thanks for everything you guys do.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hope that the rest of your trip went well.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Banger Brewing have some sort of all-you-can-drink thing?
They do. They have an all-day flat fee thing. Somebody mentioned
that. Dan, who was in Vegas at the same time.
Yes, and we never ran into Dan, but
no, but we followed each other's escapades on Twitter.
Yes, and it sounds like he had some drunken fun at Banger as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the price is. I think somebody mentioned that a few weeks ago on the show, because you can come and go. I guess you get a bracelet or something and can come and go throughout the day and continue to drink on the flat fee. So, you know, if you like to drink beer and, you know, some good beer outside of the usual offerings, that might be a nice option if you're downtown. The good thing about downtown, too, is that everything is so close, so it's not that big of an inconvenience to run down there and get a roadie and
go to Pizza Rock.
Continue about your business. Well, I don't know if, actually, well, I think they have bangers. Some,
oh,
they've
yeah,
had
they
banger
do.
Stuff at Pizza Rock. I'm sure the all
we've
you
had
can,
the jalapeno jefa. There.
Yeah. I'm sure the all you can drink thing doesn't transfer over.
No, I don't think so.
All right. I am really, really happy we got this next review because we did not ever get around to trying this.
We talked about it a lot.
We'll get into Cosmo next week, but yes, so we never made it over here to do this.
Hey, my name is Erica, and I'm from a suburb of Detroit, Michigan. I'm visiting Vegas right now, and I just wanted to let you know that I tried the Botanist cocktail at the Cosmopolitan. I went up to the bar, and I asked the bartender about it, and lo and behold, he was actually the bartender that created the drink. His name was Jason, and he is awesome. The drink was amazing. As for market price, I know you guys were worried about that. It ended up being $16. He said it's usually about $16 to $18. So after that drink, there was a lot that went into it. So I didn't want to ask him to make me another one, but I should have because it was amazing. It was so good. But I told him what I liked. I told him I just liked, fruity, sweet drinks. And he made me a couple other drinks, and they were awesome. So if anybody goes to Vegas and you happen to go there, I definitely recommend asking for Jason. He's the one who created the Botanist. He said it was a long time planning, and he kind of gave us the backstory and stuff. I don't want to ruin anything, so, just ask him yourself. And, yeah, I just want to let you guys know. I love the show. Thanks. I'm going to go continue my night here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right,
bye.
All right. Thank you so much
for
that review.
Oh, that was great.
So the Botanist is a relatively new signature drink at Vesper Bar, which is a lobby bar at Cosmopolitan. We talked about it, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen to that show if you don't know what she's talking about. It's kind of a tea-based gin thing with a thing that blooms. I don't know what the fuck. A lot going on there.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like she said, the price changes, but $16 to $18,
I would do that for a cocktail at Vesper that involves that much work.
Yeah. That's not that far off from what they're charging for anything else anyway. Exactly. So, Vesper is a great bar. I can't believe we never made it to Vesper. How the hell did that happen?
I know. Because we were already drunk and we were afraid to get drunker.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's the reason why. For whatever reason, we were never... Usually when we were in the casino playing, we wanted to play at a video poker bar. That's probably why. I don't feel like I get completely schnockered on this trip that much.
No.
That much. Nice qualifier. The last full day there, I kind of did. But I didn't hit it that hard this trip.
I didn't either.
All right. Thank you for that review, Erica. Much appreciated. Next caller.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. This is Liz from Nebraska.
Hello, Liz.
And I wanted to tell you guys about my experience at the Peppermill and then my experience at Win and Encore. So here it goes. So we went to the Peppermill and we got a lift. There's about a 20-minute wait, but I have got to tell you guys, the decor in there is fantastic. It's like we were in the 1970s. There were mirrors everywhere. It was really colorful. And then the portion sizes, once we got our food, were ginormous. I ordered biscuits and gravy. My husband got this burger that had pastrami on it. But it is precisely what we needed because we were slightly hungover from the night before. So after eating there, we made our way to the Encore. But of course, we had to stop into kind of like the crappy, kitschy Vegas souvenir shop. You know, because I just really like taking pictures of the little plates and the spoons because I'm a weirdo like that. And, looking at things like shot glasses with boobs on them that read, you got to know when to hold them and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we made our way down to Encore. And, you're kind of in this decidedly crappy part of Vegas with all of these kind of nasty shops and stuff. And suddenly, you're in Encore, and it's like the lap of luxury. I mean, every tiny detail was thought out about the decor, about the way the plants were placed. I mean, it's a beautiful property. We had never been. It was just beautiful. And, the carpets do match the drapes there. Haha. Same with the Wynn. I mean, everywhere we looked, there was something beautiful to see, from the super shiny Popeye sculpture that was there to the carousel made of flowers. I mean, it was
just gorgeous. And so we stayed there a little bit to gamble. We got a Sinatra Smash, which was delicious. It took the bartender a little while to make it, but it was totally worth it. It was so good. And so we sat down to gamble for a bit. And here's one little thing that happened, and I don't know if any fellow 500s have had this happen. We were asked to join their red card club 5 different times. And while it was slightly annoying, we did find it funny after a while, because, like, seriously, 5 times. It was fine, though. I mean, we had really good luck gambling, and it didn't, like, ruin our experience. It was just a thing that happened that I thought was interesting. And yes, we did very well on the slots. And again, that Sinatra Smash was delicious. And it ended up, well, of course, we wanted to make our way back to, like, the main part of the strip there. And, you know, we had the mini fountain show outside the Wynn. It's just kind of this little oasis before you get to, like, the super loud, you know, part of the strip. So we really enjoyed our experience at the Peppermill and kind of that northern side that we don't make our way up to very often. But I have to give some shout outs to some fellow 500s. Linda, you know who you are. You're a national treasure. And Rebecca, who actually introduced me to this podcast.
Well, then Rebecca is the national treasure. She's spreading the gospel of 500. I don't know, Linda. I'm sure Linda's a delight as well, but. Props to Rebecca for spreading the word.
Does my hair, and every time we I go to my appointment, we talk about Las Vegas, I'd say 90% of the time. So thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Tim and Michelle, for giving us a lovely podcast about every week. I look forward to it. So anyway, thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right, thanks for that report. Thank you. Awesome. It's fun to discover new things. Mm-hmm. That is great. Yeah, glad you had a really good time. Peppermill is a cool.
I love it.
For the same reason,
I don't get there as often as I would like.
But. No, and for the same reason that we've gone to the that ridiculous cafe at Fremont.
Oh yeah,
like the kind of bizarre old decor kind mm-hmm. of thing it's worth dropping in just for that.
Yeah.
The other thing too is if you've been to Peppermill and eaten there, but you've never gone to the Fireside Lounge, which is mm-hmm. the other side of the building, that's really cool too. If you want to have a cocktail and that's
oatmeal cookie,
there's like fire pit in there and all kinds of similar mm-hmm. look as far as neon and mirrors and yep. fake plants and stuff. It's a cool room. So check that out if you didn't make it over there. Okay. Final call of the week.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. It's Mattio from Detroit. Tim, I know you like short calls.
There you go. There was some sort of a concerted effort in Detroit to make that point, apparently. I had 3 mm-hmm. of those such calls. At least 2 of them were from the Detroit area. So I'm not sure what sort of underground Detroit 500 discussions are going on, but I was amused. All right. Thanks, Mattio, and everyone else. For your calls this week, we have more calls from the last couple weeks that we'll get caught up on probably next week. In the meantime, let's talk about some stuff from our most recent Las Vegas trip, which took place March 14th through the 20th. We were there six nights. It was a long one for us. Mm-hmm. And this is the 3rd year in a row that we've done March Madness and St. Patrick's Day, which happened over the same weekend. And that's one of the things I want to talk about this week very briefly. So it was on a Friday. St. Patrick's Day was on a Friday this week. Last mm-hmm. week or last year was on a Thursday. Having it on a Friday definitely changed things a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We've talked about it a few times since we got back. I feel like I might be done with March Madness St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Uh huh.
Super fun.
Yes.
But man,
we had a great time. But this year it was just like it was just a little too busy.
Yeah.
And part of it is we were a little run down, too.
That's true. I think we were fighting off some colds or something. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, it just was a little more of everything.
Yeah. And we were downtown, and I remember a couple of years ago, we started out on the strip and then moved downtown. And mm-hmm. I remember by the time we moved downtown, I was just tired of the strip because there were just too many people everywhere.
Yeah. We started out on the strip this time, too, yeah. But
it was different.
We moved downtown on
Thursday.
And Thursday was busy. Mm-hmm. Friday was insane. Saturday was busy, but we were kind of occupied and not. Yeah. We'll get into that in a few minutes. So we weren't necessarily in the thick of it the whole night, but Saturday was pretty crazy too. And then Sunday was very pleasant.
Sunday was great.
People were leaving on Sunday, and it was like,
oh, I can
breathing
I can
room again.
Find a seat at the bar, no problem. And yeah.
It did confirm that I have no desire to go to Las Vegas for New Year's Eve,
which
I know is even more amplified.
Yeah.
Which I've from time to time thought, oh, maybe it wouldn't be that bad.
No.
Nah, it's not for me.
No. That window has passed.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like I said, I don't know. We had a wonderful time. The trip was fantastic.
Yeah.
But as far as the crowds.
I think it was the perfect storm of March Madness, St. Patrick's Day, being on a Friday,
spring break. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So
we're old and cranky.
We are old and cranky. But that's okay. We had a good time anyway. That's
we just
it.
Turned in a little earlier than we normally would have.
Like I said, in addition to feeling like I didn't drink nearly as much as normal, we slept a lot this trip. And I don't know, was there a night that we made it even past midnight?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I don't think so.
We are old.
I know.
But part of it was I caught something on the way there.
Yeah,
and
you
so
had,
I was
and then
just
I,
trying to catch up the whole time, and then I ended up giving it to you.
Yeah, I kind of was starting to get run down toward the
and
end
I,
of the trip.
I hope nobody we encountered. I kept thinking, oh, it feels like allergies. I don't feel stuffy. I hope it's allergies.
Yeah, it was a weird deal.
So I hope I didn't
and for me,
pass
I was just,
it on to anyone.
I was just run down more than anything. But there's a lot of that shit going around. So
and we were run down when we got back, too.
Yeah, it took me until Friday to finally start to feel normal again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what else? So huge crowds, so still lots of fun. The, you know, as usual, Fremont Street with the Irish bands.
Yeah.
There were some really good bands this year.
There were.
And there weren't, you know, there was a U2 cover band, which you always see, but there was.
There were a couple, like, hard rockin' Irish.
Kind of Irish punk bands,
yeah.
Like Dropkick Murphys-esque kind
yes.
of Mahones-like
yeah.
kind of. Was it like a 3 or 4 piece that just had. You know, your typical rock band, but they had a bagpipe player as well, which normally I run screaming when there's a bagpipe
as many
player involved.
Do.
But man, this fucking rocked. It was
yeah.
so good.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah, so yeah, I would, you know, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't go for St. Patrick's Day and March Madness. By all means do. It's just, like I said, I think I'm done with it. Okay, so the two things I chose for this week to discuss.
Can we talk about the second one first?
Yes, we can.
Because I have a feeling the last one might go on a little bit.
Oh, okay. Much like your heart.
Oh, yes.
All right. So we went to the Neon Museum, which we have been meaning to do for ages and ages. We always talk about it, and then there will be trips where we're like, oh, it's summer. It's too hot. We don't want to do it. Blah,
right.
blah, blah. We ended up doing it this time, fortunately, as a result of an invitation from some friends who were in town.
Yes.
Matt and Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for inviting us. And
thanks for coordinating the tickets and everything.
We had a wonderful time.
We did.
And so we did the night tour of the Neon Museum. Do you know how many people were in our tour group? Maybe a dozen or so?
I was going to say 12.
Yeah, roughly 12, 15. So it wasn't a huge group, but I know they do cap it. If you look, maybe it's like 15, I think. But anyway, I'll get to that stuff later. But the so the Neon Museum, which is outdoors, they kind of take you on a path through the history of Las Vegas in a sense. And they have it grouped. What was it? Downtown was first, wasn't it? It was a downtown and then small business and off strip, and then it ends with the strip. And there's some stuff kind of mixed in that doesn't necessarily fit cleanly with those, but that's kind of the general path of it. The one thing about the night tour, and I know this has been mentioned on the show before from people who have done it, is not all the signs are illuminated, or they're not restored and lit up.
Like, the bulbs aren't lit.
Right.
There's a spotlight on them where you can see them, but they're not
lit. Most of them have spotlighting to illuminate them. But they do have, I don't know.
They have quite a few lit up.
It was more than I expected, actually.
Same. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like 3 or 4, and it was more like 10, 12 throughout the whole thing.
Yep. And it sounds like they're constantly working on more.
They pointed out 2 or 3 that they're going to be restoring in the next year or so.
Yeah.
So that's great. And I know that they have an expansion that we discussed a few weeks ago too. They've purchased some additional space, so they're going to have a larger space at some point for tours as well. So great things happening there. So it was roughly an hour, I would say. A lot of history. not only of Las Vegas, but of, like, I was impressed by the depth of the history. The depth of the history in terms of, here's what was going on with signs in this era.
Yeah.
And like, the, a little bit of discussion, not getting too nerdy about it, but enough where they're like, okay, now, at, during this era, the font choices changed. The typefaces changed from, you know, this, which is a little more ornate, to Helvetica, you know?
Which I just eat up because it was, I love that stuff.
It was really cool to see how the era, how the look of things changed throughout the era, the different eras in Las Vegas, the different types of lights being used, because it wasn't, you know, those lights aren't strictly neon. There's a lot of neon there, but
Argon.
Yeah, I that was lost on me. Like, as far as they were explaining how the color is affected by the different type of gas in the actual lights and stuff. But it was very, I did find the majority of that very interesting. Also, some of the history of the hotels where the signs were.
Yeah.
I really had a great time. I thought it was a really, really entertaining and interesting. I
highly recommend it. Yeah. Yeah, we took Lyft there and back.
And that was pretty convenient.
Yep.
Driver had a little bit of a difficult time finding us on the way out, but it only took an extra couple minutes.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it only took an hour.
No.
No, it was fine.
This is one of those things, kind of like the Mob Museum, although I would say, I don't anticipate revisiting it often. Mm-hmm. But
I'd do it again.
I would do it again once. But,
yeah, once more signs were restored.
Yeah, once they expand it and have significantly more stuff. Because just to hear the history again would probably be pretty repetitive to do it again in like a year. But in 3 or 4 years, whenever that expansion is done and they have more stuff, I would definitely do it.
Oh, yeah.
For the night tour, tickets are about $26. I would recommend reserving well in advance because I was looking even a month out, and a lot of the night tours fill up very early. The daytime tours, which are, I believe, $19, and they have different prices for senior citizens and locals and stuff like that. But the daytime tours don't fill up as quickly, and there are more of them, and that's probably why. So, you know, if you're looking at doing the daytime thing, it's probably not as urgent to book early, but
especially
nighttime,
in the summer months when people are more inclined to stay away because of the heat.
Yeah, very good point. Nighttime tour, you probably want to get on it a little bit earlier. Neonmuseum.org is where you can find out all the details on that.
They had a very nice gift shop with a lovely selection of t-shirts.
I was hoping you'd mention that. You know, it's weird. Right before we left for our trip, I had an email from one of our listeners saying, he was asking me if I knew of anywhere to get not authentic old-timey hotel t-shirts, but retro t-shirts of... And I said, you know what? I don't really know of any.
I need to look at their online store and see what they have online as well, because they had a very good selection in the shop.
I ended up emailing them again because I'd said I didn't know of anything. I emailed them from Vegas and said, I found a place for you.
Yeah.
And told him because I didn't know how soon he was going to be there. But not only t-shirts, but a lot of other really cool retro Vegas stuff. Because you got, there was like original El Rancho and...
Yep. The Mint, a couple silver slipper ones.
Yeah. So if you're looking for kind of cool t-shirts that are a little different than what you find in your standard Vegas gift shop, this is a place.
I loaded up.
You did.
That was really the only time I shopped.
Yeah. You bought a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah.
And even too, like they had magnets for each letter of the alphabet that were different from the different Vegas signs in the Boneyard. It was really cool. I was impressed by the gift shop, and usually I'm not.
Yeah.
Anything else about the Neon Museum worth noting? Did you have a favorite sign or a favorite part of it, or is there anything especially memorable?
Oh, I'd have to go back and look at my pictures. I just liked the whole thing. I was really impressed by the tour guide. It moved along at a good pace.
Yep. Yeah.
There's plenty of room to take photos, and
I don't know that I had necessarily one favorite part either. But I did enjoy, I really liked seeing, mainly I guess because of, I kind of liked seeing the signs of the hotels that are still the same name, like Golden Nugget, for example. There's some old Golden Nuggets, and even though it's not open anymore, there's an old Las Vegas club sign. It's kind of cool seeing some of the original stuff from these places that are still around. There's some Flamingo stuff, and it was really, really well done. So nice job to them on how they've arranged it. And the tour guide was great. I don't remember his name, but he was fantastic. And yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we finally got around to it. And thanks again to Matt and Krish for inviting us and hanging out with us and all that good stuff.
Yeah, always good time hanging out with them.
So. Yep. Thanks for taking us to the Boneyard, guys. All right. moving along, something else that we did during this trip. On Saturday night, we went to a show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to always say, oh, we don't go to that many Las Vegas shows. We've been going to a lot more Las Vegas shows lately.
We have.
And they're of the live music variety or the semi-live music variety. music-based instead of, you know, big production shows. And this one, we had discussed going to for a while, but the ticket prices were nuts.
Yeah.
So this is another one. Last time we went to Las Vegas, you may recall, we went and saw Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And this time we decided to go see Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, we did.
And it's going to be hard not to compare and contrast them a little bit, which I'm sure we will do. But again, same venue, Access Theater, Planet Hollywood. The ticket prices for Backstreet Boys were significantly more than for Britney.
Yeah, they were. I think part of it is because the dates
fewer dates that would make sense. They're doing their initial run that they've announced, and I suspect it's going to be extended.
Mm-hmm.
Consisted of March, which just ended. We saw the last of the March shows. They're doing another.
Oh, I thought they were playing this weekend as no they're not.
I don't think so. No, that was it until
April.
I believe they're doing another batch in April, like the later part of April, I think 8 or 9, and then they have, I
AJ needs some time to spend with the new baby.
Just had a baby. And then 9 or 10 shows the end of June.
Okay.
So, and then we'll see, but I've got to think.
They're making some bank on this.
Between the ticket prices and...
Between the ticket prices and the after show stuff.
That's right. They're doing after parties at Chateau.
Yep.
Which people can buy into, and they come out and probably say hello, and that's about it.
But, yeah. I think they rotate...
Yeah.
The wording was very clear that not all of them would be there.
Yeah, yeah. but smart on their part, it's while they're in town, capitalize on that shit.
Absolutely.
Do an additional appearance at the end of the night and make additional money. So I give them great credit on their business acumen. So yeah, ticket prices, when we initially were looking, I was like, holy shit, because... So the section we were in for Britney, which was right in front of the stage, I think for Britney it was... I mean, they were crazy expensive for her, too. They were like $250 or something like that. They were over $200. For them, they were like $500-$600.
Uh-huh.
I was like, holy fuck, that is nuts.
But they were full.
They were full. Well, that's the thing. They sold like crazy.
And they weren't packed. They were like Britney.
Like
they
Britney.
Were full, but it wasn't like sardines in there where it wasn't an uncomfortable experience.
Yeah. So even for the cheaper seats on the lower level, which typically for a residency at the Access Theater, they only have the lower level open.
Yeah.
Even those tickets were a couple $100.
Yeah.
Well, then... They ended up opening the balcony, which they have not done for any of their previous residencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only for certain shows, like Saturday shows might be it, for the weekend shows.
Yeah.
They, at least for March, I don't know if it's for their whole run, but they announced they were opening the balcony. And the tickets up there were, before fees, they were $99 and $60.
Mm-hmm.
And $59 and $99. So it ended up, I think our tickets, which were $99, were probably $130 each, roughly.
Yeah.
$125 each. And we were... The tickets we bought, this was a weird deal.
Yeah, this was strange.
Tickets we bought were in this tiny little section right in front of the like the stairway when you come up through the balcony.
Yeah, so they're only like two rows.
Two rows of four seats each or something like that. And but we got, so we come walking out and our seat should have been right in front of where we came walking out, the stairs.
Uh-huh. There's all this camera and lighting equipment there.
Police tape surrounding our seats.
Yeah.
And
you were joking that there was a murder there.
Yeah. So we talked to the usher and she's like, oh, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
She went and radioed her supervisor. And apparently there were a few sections like this. They had a row, a couple sections over that was for people who were being relocated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the front. We were supposed to be second row of one of these short rows.
Yep.
We ended up being moved to the first row of the balcony, which was it was a much longer row, but that was fine.
It was fine. We didn't get up or anything.
So. And all the other people in that row apparently had been relocated as well.
Yeah.
Or a bunch of them, at least around us. But, you know, they
handled that smoothly.
Smoothly.
Okay, go over here, take these two seats. They've been reserved for people who need to be relocated.
I said, somebody's not going to show up with these tickets, are they? They're like, nope, that row is completely for relocation, so you should be fine.
And it was.
And it was. It worked out just great. So the show itself, and we had a great view, and it was it was fantastic.
Oh God, yes. I think they might have been better seats than the ones we had initially.
Probably. I mean, they're comparable at the very least. So yeah, it was good. So the show itself starts around 9:30 p.m. The ticket time is 9. Mm-hmm. They had a countdown going, except for unlike the Britney countdown, this one actually was pretty accurate in terms of start time. Before the actual show started, they had a video medley, which was at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it was like a remix, or not a...
Yeah, it was a remix like of all their songs.
A mashup.
Yes, it was a mashup of all their hits, or most of their hits. Yeah. A lot of them, which they ended up performing.
Right, but
That was fine. They sounded completely different in this format. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of like historical video of the group.
Yeah.
And photos and stuff. It was a good way to start the show, I thought. Kind of get you, people starting to get a little amped up and getting into the music.
Singing along.
Yep.
And cheering. And
I should mention that I'm not like necessarily a huge Backstreet Boys fan. I don't dislike them, but I'm not like, I knew half of the songs probably. Oh. But you were much more into
this. I'm not the biggest one. Like, I don't know the lyrics to every single song, but
So this was much more up your alley than mine, probably. Mm-hmm. But I was like gung-ho about going. I had no reservations about it at all. So let's talk about the show itself. It started about 9:30. It was an hour and a half show, 20 songs, definitely a greatest hits show.
They were very conscious about doing some of the dance moves from the videos.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I know I'd read an interview with one of the guys before the show that said that they had pulled out some of their choreography from
previous
tours that they hadn't done in a long time.
Which I think is really
cool. So for people who are
like, oh, as long as you love me, they're doing that move.
Oh, we should probably have some Backstreet Boys playing in the background, shouldn't we? Just to really annoy people who are furious that we're talking about this.
Oh yeah. And people, I was telling you before we started recording, I'm sure that there's somebody out there who's like, oh, I can't believe they don't like Steely Dan, but they went to see the Backstreet Boys. And I said, Steely Dan could gargle my husband's balls.
Well, maybe it's because Steely Dan gargles my balls.
Yeah. Gotta keep pushing. Just gotta keep pushing that button.
There is something about pop music that I think people tend to dismiss.
Very much so.
But it just...
It makes you feel good.
It makes you feel good.
I have no apologies for liking pop music.
And
sure.
It's underrated. I left that show just feeling so happy.
There we go.
Yeah, they opened with this.
The show is called Larger Than Life, based on this song. So the stage setup...
Thank God we're not a video show right now, because I'm doing some embarrassing
couch dance. In your pajamas. It should be a video show. People would love this. The show itself is, the stage setup was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty much just a large empty stage with a huge staircase across the entire back of the stage.
Yeah.
And there were a couple different levels on the staircases from which they could perform as well.
And then they had some lights on top where they could show like five different things.
Video screens / lights / platforms, because they actually entered on those.
Mm-hmm.
No band.
Yeah.
So this is a weird thing. Britney had a live band, but lip synced the entire thing.
Obviously not live vocals.
These guys sing.
Oh yeah, they do.
They've never been a lip sync act.
Yeah.
They've got great harmonies. They can sing, but they had all the backing tracks were recorded instead of a live band.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter.
No.
I at first I was like, oh, that's kind of surprising, and then I'm like, but it doesn't matter. I can see why.
Yeah.
Like, why pay a live band? There's no benefit to having a live band for this show. I don't think it would
have other than to the live band who receives the paychecks.
But I didn't think it would have added anything to the show.
Yeah.
They had about a dozen dancers, and they were used kind of sparingly throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. But they were used well.
Very well. They had a couple interludes where they ran off stage to change outfits. And
from the white jacket to the sparkly jacket.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a long break. They were shorter breaks than Britney's show.
Yeah.
And they only did it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But during those interludes, they would have either historical video stuff of the band.
Yep.
Or dancers, or a combination of the two. I thought that worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else?
Each member got to speak.
Oh yeah, they had a little audience time.
Yeah, my favorite was when AJ comes out and he's like, "Are we everybody's hall passes for tonight?" And then Kevin's like, oh yeah, by the way, my kids are in the audience.
That was awkward.
That was hilarious.
By the way, yeah, my kids are here seeing the show. No hall pass for me. I mean, it was like a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
That was great. There was definitely this energy in the room, though. Like, there was definitely this experience of seeing this band that...
Group
that people had idolized when
yes.
they were younger. And there's just this... And they were really good about interacting with the fans as
I was
well.
Very impressed by their stage presence and their gratitude for their audience.
Oh,
and
yeah.
also the amount that they did interact with the people around the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. There was no hesitation. Again, going back to Britney, it was very much like, don't reach out and touch Britney because mm-hmm. don't.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys were like leaning in and they were a lot of high
handshakes,
fives and
high
handshakes.
Fives,
and
yeah.
Very cool. I have a great appreciation for people who... treat their fans that well.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly have an appreciation for what the fans have done for them.
Yeah.
Came across very well. The music sounded great. Their voices do sound really good. I'm sure there might have been a little bit of enhancing or backing stuff,
but it wasn't like obvious auto-tune or anything. They can still...
Yeah, their mics were open. You could tell. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had a much better, not even a much, I don't want to say much better time because that makes it sound like I didn't think I'd have a great time.
Yeah.
I knew I'd have a good time, but I enjoyed it probably a little bit more than I thought I would.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had a really good time.
I'd go again, like in a heartbeat. I had such a good time. I loved that show so much. I had all the good feelings.
And while I will say, while the audience was definitely a majority female, mm-hmm. it wasn't probably quite as heavy as I would have thought it would
yeah,
have been.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some groups of dudes that were there.
Yeah.
That were like totally into it, having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were certainly a lot of couples as well.
Yeah.
We had a couple sitting next to us. But he seemed as geared up about it as she was.
Yeah.
So, again, my take on this would be... If you're not familiar with Backstreet Boys, don't necessarily like them, I wouldn't go. But if you like their music, and
mm-hmm.
you'll have a really good time. It's a fun show.
The other thing we were talking about earlier, because we just, I don't know, the day after we had to unpack a little bit, I guess.
Unpack? What, are we in a corporate boardroom?
No, we are not. Definitely not. Just that... It's modern but classic. Like when we went to see Human Nature, there were a lot of elements. And Human Nature started out as
a boy band.
Yeah.
Kind of a good, that's a good comparison actually, in terms of this was an amplified version of the Human Nature show. As mm-hmm. far as the similar stage set to when we saw them years ago, they may have changed that since. But just the stairs in the back and the focus was definitely on
the music and a few dance moves. Like there's some choreography going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a great time. I'm glad you did.
Oh,
I'm glad we went.
It was... Oh, God. I can't say how much I enjoyed it. I just loved it. And,
good.
Like, some of the songs, I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the songs that I still listen to, like, Everybody. Backstreet's Back, All Right. Love that song. but some of the songs, it's like, oh, yeah, they did this. And I don't know. I have a hard time... verbalizing how much I love it.
I'm glad it was a good part of our trip.
Yeah. Oh, and they all look good.
Yeah, they all look fine. I have no judgments on that. So Backstreet Boys, like any boy band, you can kind of label each of them.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
I was trying to, and then I'm like, nope. Okay.
AJ is the bad boy.
Mm-hmm. AJ is hilarious, though. There's something about him that's just endearing.
Brian is Monkey Heart. Didn't he have a Monkey Heart installed at some point?
He had heart surgery. We just watched the documentary.
Howie
again.
D. Yeah, the documentary is really good too on Netflix. Howie D is Ringo.
What?
Howie D is Ringo. Doesn't necessarily get as much glory as mm-hmm. maybe he deserves. He's a perfectly serviceable musician.
Yes.
He
has a smooth voice.
Nick is the cute one. And then
he's the young one. He's like the baby Spice.
And then Kevin is Fun Killer. He's the one who wants to strictly adhere to any rules they've established at the beginning of the tour.
Kevin's the dad.
He is. So you can put labels on them. I just did. All right.
I was going through this in my head, though, and trying to like do the New Kids in Sync and trying to fit.
There's some variations. Yeah, but there's some crossover. I probably. I'm not going to because our listeners are already forwarding frantic. They're still talking about this.
I could go on for days. But I could go on.
I could make New Kids on the Block parallels between each of the guys.
Yeah,
I'll say that for you. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
And I think we might have a disagreement about a couple of them, but
I don't know if we will. Yeah. Okay. So that's it. We're going to talk about
Backstreet Boys. Go see it
if you're a fan of their music and them. I always like to throw. I don't want somebody who's
who's like really into Rush. Say probably wouldn't enjoy that.
That's a really good. Yes. That's a really good point.
But they were.
If you like pop music and you like some of the Backstreet Boys songs, you're probably going to have a good time.
It's one of those shows where. Oh, also the songs stay in your head for a couple weeks because
they're very poppy.
Yeah.
Oh, and Lance Bass was there from NSYNC. Lance Bass was there. He was pulled up on stage during
Shape of My Heart.
So that was kind of neat too.
Yeah.
All right. We've now seen NSYNC, Britney Spears, and Backstreet Boys in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we missing on
Spice Girls?
90s? Oh, yeah, there you go. That would be probably 90s, the 90s pop music thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Maybe that dream will come true one day. All right. So next week, we're going to talk about some other stuff from our trip. We have a couple hotels to talk about that we stayed at and a bunch of restaurants and bars and all kinds of stuff. So... before we go, we've got a bunch of karma donations as well this week that we want to thank people for. We have a couple, I thought most of these were already canceled, moved over to Patreon, but apparently we still have some recurring PayPal donations from Michael, Chris, and Brian. Thank you to all of you. I would highly encourage you to cancel those and move them over to Patreon so you get some bonus content as part of your recurring support of this show. But do what you want to do.
But we thank you for your support.
We do thank you very much. Nikki and Jamie had a 4-night trip to Las Vegas from the UK about a week ago, and they were going to see Billy Idol on our recommendation.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed it. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I hope you had a good time like we did. Thank you for that, Nikki and Jamie. Ryan with a karma donation. There's a lot of March Madness karma donations on here because these are a couple weeks. Some of these are a couple weeks old. So Ryan had a karma donation for March Madness and his bachelor party.
Cool.
Hope that both went well. Both aspects of your trip went well. Hope you didn't get too nuts, but just nuts enough, and hope the wedding is still on. Brock, first ever karma donation in preparation for an annual March Madness trip, and said he appreciates the hours of work we put into helping those who are once a year Vegas goers stay informed of the place we love. Not love, lust, he clarified. Unhealthy lust. Oh, my. Well, I'm wondering how Brock's trip went, that unhealthy Vegas lust. Thank you, Brock. We appreciate it. John with a karma donation. We had several listeners and a bunch of people who were having some travel issues.
Oh, man.
For that March Madness trip. We did not get much more weather. We did not get much of the storm here, but the East Coast got nailed.
Yeah.
A bunch of flights were canceled and people were having trouble getting to and from Las Vegas if they were on the East Coast. John being one of them. He said, karma donation helped get me out of the Northeast and to Vegas for March Madness. Already had one flight canceled. Hope you made it.
Yes.
Hope that worked out. That would be a drag. Mm-hmm. If you're in Vegas and you get stranded an extra day, with it.
But if you have to lose a day from your trip,
that's no good.
Especially if it's a short trip.
Yep. All right. David said heading to Vegas for a couple days. This was a couple weeks ago. Want karma. Need karma. Loving you guys. Well, thank you, David. Hope you had some good luck.
Yes.
Anthony with a karma donation for a guy's March Madness trip. They were hoping for a big win at the sports book and blackjack and craps tables and still hunting for the first royal. Hope you hit it.
I hope you hit it. We ran into somebody. Didn't he hit two of them?
Two what?
Royals.
Yes. That lucky son of a bitch. Yeah, we had... next week I'll talk. I've got a list of a bunch of listeners we ran into. So I keep
sidetracking you.
That's okay. I'm sure I'll miss some of them. But yeah, he posted about that on the Facebook group too. Two royals for the. Hopefully, Anthony finally got one too. Karma donation from Matthew. Thank you, sir. Kevin and Angie, first time karma donation for a recent trip. So they love the podcast. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Parker and Lexi, flight from Missoula, Montana, leaving 2 hours after this PayPal donation. Listening to the shows kept me excited for the trip nearly constantly since booking the tickets.
Yay!
I'm happy we can help play that role in people's lives. Richard with karma donation. Thank you, sir. Richard of the previously mentioned Facebook group post of the week. Nice. Stephen from Lindenhurst, Illinois, said your dedication and efforts are truly appreciated. Thanks so much for everything. Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. And finally, Adam said, need some good karma on my golden birthday trip this Wednesday through Sunday.
Yay.
Happy birthday and good luck. Hope you make some cashola.
Thank you to everyone and I just hope said cashola. You had or have good luck.
What's wrong with me? Cashola.
I don't know.
Time to turn off the mics. All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, emailing, commenting, calling. That's coming up in a second. Our website is 500bymidnight.com. You can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions if you'd like to 500@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, 500 and Anita Martini. 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. We would love to hear from you. Call us with your Vegas reviews, thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, calling, listening to our long-ass Backstreet Boys review.
Oh,
we have more Vegas.
It was so good. More. So good.
You know what? Even if you're not into that, even if you're not into, like, so there are plenty of Las Vegas shows that I like. Well, even a lot of the Cirque shows. I'm just not that into the Cirque, but I'm always really, really happy when people call and are like, this show was magnificent. It was a great part of our trip. We had a great time. I'm like thrilled with that. I love that.
The thing that I'm experiencing right now is every time I think of it, I just get happy.
That's good. That's good. You want to come back from Vegas with awesome memories. And our whole trip was an awesome memory. But,
it was. It was a little different than usual, but it was still really good.
I think next week maybe we'll talk. We keep alluding to this trip being very different. Mm-hmm. And we'll discuss that next week, I think. Yeah. We'll get into the first couple of days of our trip. It was a very different Vegas experience for us. So we'll talk about that. And who knows what else we'll get into. So stick around. We will talk to you soon. And in the meantime, we'll see you on the Facebook group and Twitter and all that. And have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.